this morning, I pray that our heart's desire is to hear from the Lord, that he would speak and move. He is with us, and he is among us, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work, he'll do a new thing in us. This morning, you're either here, you don't know the Lord Jesus, you've never trusted him as Lord and Savior. Today at invitation time, as we come and we fill this altar with prayers, you're going to have an opportunity, one, to come to know the Lord who made you, because you were made by him and for him. No matter what anyone else says, you were made by God for him. And he'd like to get to know you. He would like to be in relationship with you. Secondly, if you are a believer, there's going to be an opportunity to draw closer to him. As we seek and look at what God is saying to us this morning through the text of Scripture, our attitude has to be this: I will give my very best to the Lord. So in Exodus chapter 25, if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, that will be our text of Scripture. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel, that they take for me a contribution from every man whose heart moves him. You shall receive the contribution from me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod, for the breastpiece. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all its furniture. So you shall make it." Let's pray. Lord, this morning I ask that you would stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would do your work. Lord, move in us. Holy Spirit, stir in us, convict us. Help us to see you. I pray, God, that you would fall fresh on us, Holy Spirit. And Lord, you're moving in and through your people all throughout our state. We're asking, God, for your presence to be felt and made known. And may we be forever changed. God, help me to preach plain and clear. I do realize that there is a heavy judgment on my life, and rightly dividing your word of truth, I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've been reading through the book of Exodus, we've seen God court his people. He's showed off some, hasn't he? He's flexed his arm. He has proven to the Israelites that he's greater than the Egyptian army. He's greater than Pharaoh, who was the most powerful man at that time in the known world. He's taking them in the wilderness. He's fed them from heaven, bread from heaven. He's giving them water out of a rock. He showed off. He's dated them. And then he brings Moses to the mountain. He only lets Moses and a few people come to the mountain because he marks it off as holy. And it's thundering and it's lightning and there's fire, and the people are afraid to even approach it because he says, "Don't even touch the mountain, because if you touch this mountain, you will die." Because he is a holy God. And so they were afraid, and Moses comes down the mountain, his face is shining, and they're like, and they're hiding from him. They're like, "Moses, put a veil over your face and talk to us, and you be the mediator for us." And God takes them through this dating period, and then he enters into marriage with his people, and he forms a covenant. And he makes a covenant and he says, "I will be the Lord your God, and you are to serve me. You're to have no other gods before me, and you're to worship me, and I will bless you. And all the promises that I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will fulfill to you." And all the people agreed and said, "Yes, we will do it." And they entered into marriage. And then in Exodus 25, we have God now moving in to be among his bride and his people. See how that works? You get married, then you move in. Okay? You get married, then you move in. Our culture has made that backwards. You move in, then you get married. No. You get married, you make the covenant, then you move in. And God is now going to move in to his people. And that's what brings us here in 25. Now notice here, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution. Some of your Bibles might say an offering or a freewill offering. Take for me a contribution from every man whose heart moves him. You shall receive the contribution for me. Two things we need to notice here. Number one, who is the contribution for? It's for God. It's not for Moses. Look, speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution or a free will offering. That offering is not going to Moses, it's going to God. You see, when you give your tithes and offerings, you give it unto the Lord. You're not giving it to the church, you're giving it through the church. You're giving it to God. And he's wanting to make and take a contribution or a free will offering because he is going to allow his people to participate in creating for him a house or a home or a tent in which he will live and reside and make his abode among his people. Secondly, he says, take a contribution for me from the people on every man whose heart moves him. You see that? Whose heart moves him. This contribution wasn't something to be forced upon them, but it was something that they should receive gladly. And as their hearts were moved, they were to willingly and cheerfully give unto the Lord. Does that sound familiar? Anybody read their New Testament? It says God loves a cheerful giver. And so God's not forcing them. He doesn't want this to be forced. He's not a taskmaster like the Pharaoh of Egypt. They built for Pharaoh under the mighty hand of an oppressive slave. But God is a redeemer. He is a lover. He is one that makes covenant with his people. And he wants his people to freely love and give their very best. We ought to be people who are moved to give our very best to God. That includes more than our tithes, though our tithes and our offerings is included in that, but it should be our time and our talents. And the question we got to ask ourselves is, are we giving our very best to God? Does he have our full heart's devotion? Is our desire to seek him so that we can live in his presence? Is it the goal of our life to seek the face of God and to hear his voice so that we may follow him in obedience and righteousness and worship and honor him? He says, I want this to be done freely, generously. And let's notice what he receives, what he asks to receive. There in verse 3, gold, silver, and bronze. That's good quality stuff, isn't it? Huh? You know, when you're trying to impress somebody you love and you really want to give them a good gift, you know, don't sometimes you spend a little extra money on them? Huh? You know, maybe you get the gold ring, right? Now, you know, when you go get that engagement ring, big deal, isn't it? And there's times when you bring gold, silver, and you give somebody a gift, these gifts. Says it's gonna be purple and blue and scarlet yarn. This is a sign of kingship. This is a sign of royalty. These are colors that speak, we're giving the best to a king. And when you want to give someone something and you want to give your best to them, sometimes you'll go the extra mile, won't you? Sometimes it's really high quality, you pay a lot for it. Sometimes it's I've really planned and thought this out and I have made something special to give someone, right? But if you really love someone, you invest the best in them, right? Like when you're buying Christmas gifts and you really want to give someone a good Christmas gift. And then you look at your list and you say, now who can I spend the least on? Right? Y'all have those people. Y'all have those people that you're like, man, I got to get them a gift, but you know, I'm really not going to spend that much on them. Huh? Come on, you're in church now. Let's be honest. And if you're sitting there thinking, nope, I can't think of anybody like that. Well, then you're probably the person in the family that everybody thinks that about. But when you really love someone, you wanna give your best. And God's collecting the best for his place, for his house, for his home. He loves the color. He loves it. He loves the little show. I don't know where the pilgrims got the black and white, but you know, God, he loves the color. He's royal. He's priestly. He's kingly. And when they were to make that tabernacle, the people of God were to see that and be amazed by the beauty of it, because God is an all-powerful, all-beautiful being, worthy of our best in everything. Our best worship. Did we give him our best worship this morning? Did we come and fully pour our hearts out to God and say, God, I need to hear you. I need your presence to fall in my life. It's one thing to share it on your Facebook. It's another thing to experience it in your life. God, move in my heart. We're supposed to give God the very best in all things. Everything that we do in our marriage, at work, at school, in our extracurriculars, God gets first place in all things, and the Lord is setting a standard saying, I get the best. The best comes to me so that I make my abode with you. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He gets first place. And he goes through and explains to them all the material that's going to be needed for the tent and for the furnishings, and the gold and the silver and the bronze is going to be used to be melted down to overlay the furniture in there, all for the purpose of, look at verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell in their midst. God, who was not approachable on the mountain, now says, I'm going to make my abode with my people, and I will be in their midst. And this generous giving, this life of saying, I'm giving you my best, God, is a way to show your true devotion to the Lord. Willingly, freely giving on your wife's birthday, and you say, you give her a gift, and she says, oh, well, thank you. And you say, well, I had to. It was your birthday. Wrong thing to say, right? No, because I love you, and you are worth it. and you are priceless in my eyes. God is worth it. And he takes up this contribution so that there can be a dwelling place where God can be among them. Now, God didn't need it, but he was making himself known. Got a picture of the tabernacle of what it would have looked like. There would have been an outer tent. I want you to notice one thing about this tabernacle. There's only one door. There's only one entry to the presence of God. Only one entry, only one door. Jesus, I believe, said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is no other way but through me. And he said, I am the door. The outer court there has the tables where the bronze altar would be and the brazen laver. The bronze altar would be where the priest would make the sacrifices for the sins of God's people so that they may maintain fellowship with him. And so there would be sacrifices made on those tables. They would burn it on that brazen altar. Jesus becomes our great sacrifice. See, everything's pointing. Everything's pointing. And then before the priest go into the holy place, this tent here, this tent of meeting, this holy place is divided into two sections, the holy place and the holy of holies. And before the priest would go into the holy place, they would wash themselves in the brazen laver because they could not go into the presence of God defiled by sin. And so they would be cleansed. Jesus says that we have been cleansed through what he has done and the washing of his word. By the washing of the word, Jesus, he makes us clean. The priests were to go into the holy place and there would be the candlestick. And then there would be the table of showbread there. And then there would be the table of incense where the incense would go up before God all the time. The bread would be refilled every day. The candles would stay lit all the time. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the bread, true bread from heaven. The presence are the prayers of the saints of God rising up to God. Read Revelation. And then behind that curtain was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant would be, where the Shekinah glory of God would make his dwelling. And there the presence of God would rest. And only once a year would the high priest go into the Holy of Holies, and on the Ark of the Covenant, there would be a mercy seat, a slab of gold cover where he would sprinkle the blood on that mercy seat on the Day of Atonement for the sins of God's people. Jesus is our mercy seat, amen. The priest, they would wear the ephod. I got sent this by Kyle. He sent this to me. He said, after I've read through Exodus, I can't see you preaching anything but this now. And the chest plate, the breast piece, had 12 jewels. And those 12 jewels represented the 12 tribes of Israel. So saying that as the priests are ministering, they are ministering on behalf of God's people in the presence of God. You see what God's doing. He's making his abode with his people a sanctuary. When you hear the word sanctuary, what do you think of? Do you think of peace? This is a place where I go to find peace, rest. It's my sanctuary. In the presence of God is where I find comfort, where I find wholeness, where I'm made complete. Now, let me just throw some statements out to you. I should give my very best because God is a holy God. What does it mean that God is holy? It means that he is separate from all other gods. There is no one like him. There is no other God like our God. There is one true God. He is holy. He is separate. He's worthy of all my best, right? Number two, I should give my very best because he has made me holy. The Bible says he has made us a holy priesthood. What does that mean? That means he has separated you. If you are a child of God, he has said, guess what? I'm transferring you from darkness and bringing you into light, and I'm separating you, and I'm giving you a new name. We just sang that song, my orphan heart was given a name. And now you're free, free forever. And you belong to God, and he separates you, and he says, you're my child. You have holiness in you. You're separate. You're not to be acting like the world. You're not to be thinking like the world. You're supposed to be different. Why? Because you're distinct. You're my people. You're my prized possession. You don't live like the Canaanites. You don't live like the Hittites. You don't live like the Perizzites or the Parasites. You live for me. You are to be separate. And that call for his people is still true today. We, as Christians, we are called out. We are pilgrims here. We are set apart here to live a life that's different than anyone else so that we bring glory and honor to Christ our King. So we give our best because we're chosen. We're a royal priesthood. You have a divine purpose for your life if you are a child of God. Don't let anyone steal that from you. And so we must give our best because he has made us holy. Another statement. What you give to, you go to. Or what you invest in, you're invested in. Or Jesus would say it this way, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you spend your most time, money, and energy towards will take you to your God. What you give your best to is where you go to. And what you go to is what you invest in. And what you invest in is what you're invested in. And that's where your treasure is, and that reveals where your heart is. So I ask that the Holy Spirit speak to us, right? Lord, search me. Know my thoughts. Know my way. See if there be any wicked way in me, so that I might come clean and say, Lord, there is something standing in between me and you that's causing me not to give you my best, not to give you my all. Here's where it gets heavy. And here's where it gets very disappointing. Moses is on the mountain receiving the word from God, receiving all of this instruction where God says, I am going to make my dwelling among my people. And he gives him all the criteria. And at the same time that God has given the instructions to Moses to build this tabernacle, this dwelling place for him, the people of Israel are going, where's Moses? It's been about 20 days. Where's Moses? It's been about 25 days. Where's Moses? It's been 39 days and he's not around. What's he done? bring us out here into this desert just to forsake us and we're going to die here? Aaron, here's what you need to do. Make us a god. And Aaron says, okay, bring all your gold jewelry. And they bring all their gold rings, brings up the gold earrings, their gold necklaces, their bracelets, brings all their gold, and Aaron burns it in a fire and fashions a golden calf. And then he says, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt. Are you serious? How heartbreaking is that to God to see his people who he delivered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and rescued them, to see them dancing around to a golden calf? And Moses had just received the Ten Commandments, the very tablets that were written with the finger of God. And he comes down and he hears all this dancing and celebration and music. And he's furious. And when he sees them dancing around the golden calf, he smashes those tablets. I'm tired of the golden calves in our culture. When are we going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired? You know what? Here's the golden calf I'm tired of. Love is love. I am tired of that golden calf. Yeah. Love is love. And I'm tired of them waving that rainbow flag in my face. I'm tired of that. The reason I'm tired of that is because I know what it stands for. It stands for God's covenant that says, I will no longer destroy the world because of man's wickedness. And how dare us as a people defile God by a lifestyle that he says is not holy and wave that flag in his face. It's like dancing around the golden calf. I'm tired of people sleeping around with folks who aren't their spouse. Should have got some hand claps on that one because I got some on the other one. I'm tired of people being in bondage to alcohol, drugs, that's sweeping through our county and our community and our state. We need a revival, amen. We need a group of people to say, you know what? I'm not dancing around this calf any longer. It's not the God who saved me. Yeah, I'm going to serve Jesus. He died for my sin. He rose again. I'm going to live for him. He separated me out. He called me out. He's given me a purpose. He's given me a destiny, and I'm going to walk and live his way. That's what we need most desperately, a change of heart, a change of courage. When are we going to get sick and tired of people lying and cheating and stealing? Backbiting. Gossiping. That's a golden calf. But here we go. We go worship what the culture says to worship, and we bow down to it. All the while, man, we're ignoring the God who loved us so much that he gave his one and only son. That whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He has provided for us mercy and grace. And we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. If you are a child of God, don't live lower than what you've been called to live. You've been called to live in high places, in places of righteousness and holiness and godliness, things that will bless you, not curse you, things that will bring you peace of mind, joy everlasting. It's time to destroy some golden calves today. It's time to get rid of some golden calves. Moses burned the golden calf and put it in the water and made them drink it. And then the Lord slew about 3,000. Because God is a holy God. It's time we seek the true God who has called us out of darkness and into his heavenly light. And if we are his people, guess what we should be doing? Walking as children of light. So whatever golden calves that need to be smashed today, we're going to smash them. If you need to write some things down on that board, write it down on that board. You need to hit the altar, hit the altar. You need to make your own altar and pull your seat away and tell your neighbor, excuse me, I got to do some smashing this morning. You do it. You just let God work in your heart and life right now, and let's give him our best. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of all that we have. And so God, speak to our hearts today. Is there a golden calf that I am bowing down to or dancing around that needs to go today? That needs to be smashed? Holy Spirit, would you do your good work to remind us of what that is, to reveal that to us so that we can get it out? Lord, forgive us if we haven't been giving you our best. And Lord, today, if there's someone here that needs to trust you as Lord, that needs to surrender for salvation, Lord, would they come today and ask for your mercy? May you move among your people, God. May you break hearts and change lives. And may we seek you with all that we have, for it's in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's worship. Let's sing. Let's respond. The altar should be full today. Let's respond.